All right, now, control mechanisms. Most of the parts of your body are innervated by both sympathetic and parasympathetic system. Now, what does that word innervate mean?
To one another. No?
Okay, so the word innervate means when nerves penetrate and surround this tissue so that they can control it. So innervate is another word for saying nerves go there and control it. So nerves innervate both the parasympathetic and the sympathetic innervate the heart. Now, the parasympathetic system is in charge of
slowing down the heart.
The sympathetic is in charge of
speeding
up the heart and making it pump faster and harder, and also speeding up conduction, electrical conduction. All right, now, innervation by both can be either complementary, where they work together. An example of this is male genitalia. For an orgasm, a man has to have both sympathetic and parasympathetic simulation at the same time. So he's got to be both relaxed and excited. Yes, men are complicated. Innervation by only one, we have, for example, the blood vessels. But most of the time, when an organ is innervated by both, they're going to be opposite of each other. Any questions about that? All right. Autonomic tone. What do we mean by, what is, when you say the word nervous tone, what do we mean?
Certain contraction of the muscle.
Okay, it can result in contraction of the muscle, but what is nervous tone? Okay, now, let me ask you this question. I want you to just feel like this and push on your muscle there. Good, push on your muscle. Now, is it completely like utter jello, or is it just a little bit toned?
It's like kind of.
Okay. Right. For most of us, there should be a little bit of tone in that muscle. And the reason for that is because even while the muscle's relaxed, the nerves are still sending just a very light signal. They're going, okay, yeah, contract a little bit. Contract a little bit. So the normal rate that a neuron fires is called neural tone. And most organs are going to have the parasympathetic be their normal tone. So they'll have what they call parasympathetic tone. For example, your heart, the muscle cells left to themselves would contract about 120 times a minute. But you constantly, your heart is being told by your parasympathetic system to slow down. As a result, the average resting heart rate is 80. Oh, he made us remember stuff from yesterday. Dirty. All right. So, parasympathetic tone is when on just an ordinary, everyday basis, your organs are being innervated and being told by your parasympathetic system to slow down in the case of your heart, speed up in the case of your gut. And a lot of the fight or flight that we get is simply a matter of shutting off that parasympathetic tone. So as soon as we shut off parasympathetic tone, your heart rate will begin to increase even before you have any adrenaline or epinephrine getting to your heart. Yeah.
So if when they do heart surgery and they I don't know, damage the AV node or something like that, mm-hmm. The increased heart rate is due to that, or is it something else?
Partially. Yeah. That's a lot more complicated subject. We'll talk about that next semester.
Okay.
Yeah. We just don't have time right now. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the nervous tone is the rate at which the neurons fire.
Right. The base rate that they fire at.
Yeah.
All right. We like to say basal in the business, but the word when you see the word basal, BASAL, all it means is base. So like the baseline.
So the nervous tone and the parasympathetic tone are the same thing.
Say again?
They're the same thing.
Well, they're the same concept. Yeah. So your arteries are constantly being told by your sympathetic nervous system, contract a little bit, contract a little bit, vasoconstrict, vasoconstrict. Your heart, on the other hand, is constantly being told by your parasympathetic system, slow down, slow down. So they're both doing the same thing, but to different organs. All right. Peripheral receptors. So we, how many cholinergic receptors were there? Three. Now, nicotinic M, where is that located? Skeletal muscle. Nicotinic N, where is that located? Basal ganglia. And then the one that actually does the real work of the autonomic nervous system is the muscarinic receptors. So when we use the term anticholinergic drugs or cholinergic drugs, what we're usually talking about is drugs that affect muscarinic. Although technically, it could, using the term cholinergic generically, could mean all three. But usually what we mean is muscarinic. All right, on the adrenergic side, we have alpha-1, beta-2. And then we also have some dopamine receptors in the kidney. All right, so cholinergic receptors. Oh, this is my space to draw on the board now. Is it just me or does this not work? All right, so the question that I know is burning in so deep inside each of your little brains right now is, how can we have three receptors that all get activated by the same chemical? Go ahead, say it. Deep inside the brain. How is it possible that we have three receptors that are all activated by just one receptor, or one neurotransmitter? How is it possible? So let's take a look at a graphic representation of acetylcholine. Ta-da! Now, in order for it to activate something, how we think drugs and receptors interact with one another?
Lock and key.
So what we think then is that our ideal receptor would look something like this, right? So this can fit into it. Does it make sense? But that's not exactly how they look. So, for example, let's say that nicotinic M actually looks like this. So our acetylcholine molecule can activate it, but so can a molecule that looks like this that happens to be called muscarine. Okay. On the other hand, our nicotinic N might look something like this. So it can also be activated by acetylcholine, or it could also be activated by nicotine. So this would be nicotinic M. And then we might have nicotinic N, which would look more like that. So it could also be activated by nicotine and by acetylcholine and by something else altogether. So that's how it works, so we can have multiple receptors that are all activated by just one neurotransmitter. And then we can have other drugs that are more and less selective. So something that's shaped like this is going to be very difficult to fit into this, right? But something that's shaped like this, well, actually, something that's shaped like... something that's shaped like this could fit into this and maybe could be jammed into there, right? So that's the idea behind this selectivity. All right. Subtypes in normal physiology. Now, acetylcholine activates all cholinergic subtypes. So question is, why do we have those subtypes at all? I mean, why don't we just have acetylcholine receptors? Why do we have three different receptors if we only have one neurotransmitter? What? They're all meant for acetylcholine. Doesn't it seem kind of odd that we would just, why don't we just have acetylcholine receptors? It would certainly make this class easier, right?
God is like being difficult.
Okay, so God did it just to make your job hard as a nurse. Okay, it's possible. Okay, what's another possibility? What?
Selectivity.
Okay, selectivity, so that maybe we could become addicted to nicotine. So God did it to punish us, so that we could, I guess maybe it's not punish. I mean, after all, this is Native Americans, and they can't do anything wrong, so, you know, we should all be smoking tobacco, peace pipe. That multiculturalism at work. Right, what's another possibility? What's another possibility? Okay, did it just to make us wonder, maybe? Or maybe God made it that way so that we could make drugs that would work selectively?
I think that's the best one.
Okay. Or if, say, you want to be on the evolutionary side of things, well, maybe we're going to evolve new neurotransmitters in the future, and our bodies will produce our own nicotine. Wow. Then you only have to do this, and you don't even... How nice would that be? Thank you. All right. So, nicotinic N, we already talked about what it does. Nicotinic M, we talked about what it does. Muscarinic. Now, muscarinic causes increased gland secretion, including sweat glands, which are under the control of the
sympathetic
side. Also causes contraction of smooth muscles such as your bronchi, bladder, and GI tract, slows your heart rate, and causes contraction of the iris, and which causes meiosis and helps us to focus on close objects. Now, did I just say this a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Now, why am I repeating myself?
We have to
Oh, because it's important. Okay. Yeah.